This is the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and it's my privilege to welcome you again to our program. I say again because many of you have tuned in and do tune in from program to program, and we welcome you again. If you are new to the More Abundant Life, we welcome you for the first time, and we hope that you will stay tuned because our message today is sure to provide for you a rich, rich blessing. Today we have program number 248 in our series, and it is the continuation and conclusion of a message that we began in a previous broadcast. We're going to hear today the title, The Peace of God, Part 2. Before we get into the message for today, however, we're going to have some music. This first piece of music is entitled Alleluia, Alleluia, from the CD release Songs of Christmas by Pastor Wintley Phipps.
Hallelujah, I have come to know my Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I embrace His holy word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I will boldly stand with Him. Hallelujah, I am now a Christian soldier in this world of sin. Hallelujah, hallelujah, God has won my heart today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I have found the narrow way. Hallelujah, hallelujah, He is in my heart and mind. Hallelujah, hallelujah, great Redeemer came to save mankind. Serve Him with my might. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I will stand for truth and life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I will shout it to the earth. Hallelujah, all may enter Jesus' kingdom through a second birth. Desire is burning bright. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I am filled with heaven's light.
That's music by Wintley Phipps here on The More Abundant Life, a song entitled Alleluia, Alleluia. Here's more music now. Go Tell It on the Mountain.
When low above the earth rang out
down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born and brought us all salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. I said, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born.
You're listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. We just heard Go Tell It on the Mountain by Pastor Wendley Phipps. Now here's our message for today, The Peace of God, Part 2.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." It had been foretold that the Savior was to be born of the house and lineage of David. That's why Joseph was chosen to be Mary's husband, to fulfill that prophetic declaration. Isaiah told that the Savior would come forth as a young plant from a root out of dry ground, and that meant he would be born under the most lowly of circumstances. And all these prophecies were on the line, and they had to be fulfilled. The Bible says suddenly, verse 14, "There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace." How many angels of the heavenly hosts were there? We do not know. All we know is that they were an innumerable multitude who came forth to join in the announcement of the birth of Jesus. Now, some theologians believe that that term, heavenly hosts, was not what we normally think it to be. Because you see, that term, heavenly hosts, literally translates, if you translate it literally, it means an angel army. In other words, when America goes into battle, they send in the Marines. When God goes into battle, he sends in an angel choir. Have mercy, Jesus. Amen. It was an army of angels singing glory to God in the highest and on earth. And I believe they sang it like we've never heard it before. Never before and never since that day have angels appeared in such numbers to announce any event with singing. It was a day. And you better get ready. Because somewhere I read that they've got an encore. Somewhere I read they're coming back for command performance. Because my Bible tells me that that trumpet of God will sound. And the dead in Christ will rise up out of their graves first. And we who are alive will be caught up in the air, singing, "All is well with my soul." Yes. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess. The Bible tells us that the shepherds were also chosen to herald the arrival of the king. And what was so remarkable about that is they were humble people. simple folk, men of the hills, hillbilly. Are you listening to me? They lived uncomplicated lives. They rehearsed the scriptures, the promises of the Messiah, and God had long determined that his son, choosing self-abnegation, would not come to the earth unheralded. You missed that. God, sitting on his throne, had already determined, now my son is taking off a crown, putting on sandals on his feet, but I am not letting him go to earth without an announcement. And God found some shepherds abiding in the fields. He did not make the announcement of the arrival of his son. He didn't give it to those who were wise and great. He didn't give it to the communication specialists of the time, for God's ways are not our ways. He looks past the likely and chooses the most unlikely. He looks past the expected and chooses those you would least expect. He looks past the probable and he chooses the improbable. He trusted the announcement of the arrival of his son to hillbilly. What was so remarkable about that is, you see, shepherds back then were considered so intellectually inferior and unreliable that of all the people in Israel, shepherds, listen carefully, were the only group that was not allowed to testify in a court of law, even if they were eyewitnesses. But that's who God determined, that he would hand the announcement of the arrival of his son to. Someone said, his ways are not our ways. It is to the least of these that God reveals his power first. Those who were least trusted by men were most trusted by God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Though lowest of the low, they were given the greatest privilege. And if we were going to announce the arrival of the Son of God today, if God sent you a message, I want you to, you're my PR agent. I want you to, are you with me today? I want you to get ready to announce the arrival of my son. You turn to Brokaw and Jennings and Dan Rather and Oprah and amen. God said, no, go up into Appalachia somewhere. Yeah. Find some shepherds abiding in the hills. And Paul writes to the Colossians and Corinthians, and he says, God chose the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That means if he were making that announcement today, God would look past the Time Warners and the Disneys and choose ordinary, unreliable people like you. Like me. To announce that the Savior is born. And imagine being so chosen. The first evangelists. That's what they were. Luke 2, verse 15. Look at your Bible. Chapter 2, verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds, what did they do? They said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And then verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they what? Made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Brothers and sisters, the shepherds believed, they had faith, they were convicted, that what they had seen and experienced was not a vain, empty delusion. They carried in their hearts the assurance that the angel had spoken to them, and the word the angel had spoken was true. And they didn't need the force of logic nor the strength of scientific rationale to explain the events of that night. The Bible says they came with haste. They found not a king in his glory. Just as the angel had said, they found a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And that first silent night, that first holy night, was a moment in time unlike any other. Hallelujah. Church, it is the will of God that we carry that message that the angels proclaimed that night. Let us give glory to God in the highest. And on earth, let us work for peace. It is the will of God that there be peace. It is the will of God that neighbors should get along. It is the will of God that husbands and wives should get along. It is the will of God that brothers and sisters live in concord and harmony. It is not God's will for children or adults to quarrel with one another. It is not God's will for adults to quarrel with one another like children. Amen. Amen. It is not God's will. Even the wise man Solomon said, a dry crust eaten in peace is better than a steak every day. Amen. The peace that God brought into the world by sending Jesus is a peace we need to work for. Yes. Christmas is God's answer to war. In that little child in Bethlehem's manger, God makes peace with us, and he asks us to live peaceably with each other. Amen. I am your brother. You are my sister. We are to live in peace with one another. Amen. Isn't it ironic that in the very birthplace of the Prince of Peace, that there's been more conflict over the birthplace of the Prince of Peace? War and the spirit of war is the consequence of evil. And God wants no war anywhere. He doesn't want war in your house. Neither does he want war in your heart. He doesn't want war between the races. And somehow, I don't know how we're going to get it together, but we're going to get it together. Because my Bible tells me that the church that's going into glory is going to be one, with or without us. You just have to decide whether you're going to be with that church. He doesn't want war between nations. He doesn't want war in the church. And through all the ages of history, mankind has been plagued with wars, wars that have withered souls of the human family from the beginning of time. Someone said, the dove of peace still finds the world covered with the waters of hate and jealousy. Someone also said, peace is the time that allows us to finish paying for the last war. The nations of this world, what they really need is a conference with the Prince of Peace. And something tells me that churches need that too. We need to, oh Lord, we need a conference with the Prince of Peace. If Jesus brought us peace, should we not work for peace? Amen? This peace that Jesus brings that he is the author of, and that he is the source of. He said, my peace I leave with you. In God there is no unrest, no unsatisfied longing. You got an unsatisfied longing within your spirit. It will only be satisfied with the peace of God. God is trying to slow you down. He's trying to calm you down. He's trying to give you his peace. And there's no more glorious message in the world than this, that because of the first Christmas day, we've got peace. Before I leave you today, I want to tell you that peace is a beautiful blessing. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. With this peace, you will have strength for every duty. You will have courage for every struggle. With this peace, you'll have a blessing in every cross you bear. Peace. The biblical word for peace is wholeness. He'll make you whole. And so today, if there are any animosities, I invite you to surrender to the peace of God. If there are any grudges that you are holding, Christmas is about surrendering to the peace of God. I encourage everyone to be reconciled today. Forgive each other as Christ has forgiven you. Live in peace with each other. This Christmas, may each one of you be blessed with that peace. Amen. Years ago, a man by the name of H.P. Spafford he was scheduled to travel all the way from the United States to another nation in Europe. He booked his travel. He planned to travel by ship, but something happened that made the opportunity for him to travel with his family not possible, and he decided to send his wife, four daughters ahead of him. The French steamer that carried his family collided with another ship, sank within 12 minutes. 230 people lost their lives. The four daughters that this man had were drowned. His wife was rescued. She wired her husband saying, "Saved alone." Mr. Spafford was almost overcome with grief. He had lost his property. His four precious daughters were buried beneath the dark waves of the sea. His wife was on the other side of the world, prostrate with grief. Well, he could have tried to get a lawsuit together, but he took another ship over And just about the same spot where the ship had gone down with his wife and daughters, the captain knocked on his door and said, "This is about the place where the ship went down." And this man went down to his room and he pulled out a pen and he wrote these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. I've got peace. I've got peace. It is well with my soul." And I ask you today, are you troubled? Some trouble we bring on ourselves. Some trouble we have rehearsing in our own minds. Some of us are just miserable, and it's trouble we bring on ourselves. God wants to free you today. He wants to give you his peace.
Well, that brings us to the end of the message for today and just about to the end of our program. We heard the title, The Peace of God, Part 2, and this is program number 248 in our series. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. Please remember to ask for and to reference program number 248, and that will give you the title of today's message, The Peace of God, Part 2. As always, I like to wish you God's richest blessings and the best for this season. Until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr., and I invite you to join us again for another program. But until you can, and until then, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your